Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is blindness on the path. And before we proceed with our topic, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey. The main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show emanates from the works of Alice Bailey, and she's the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and she wrote 24 volumes of literature. And the following thought is also from Alice Bailey. I would remind you that there would be no darkness without the light, and no light without the dark. Our program today, by the way, isn't about physical blindness, but the blindness experienced on the spiritual path. Can you describe this condition?
Oh, I know it well.
Good.
I can say a great deal about this subject. Everybody who's a spiritual seeker longs for light upon his way, direction, a sense of the future unfolding path and where he or she stands upon it. But for a great many spiritual seekers, blindness and utter darkness are more familiar. And in the last program, we talked about the third eye, the means of illumination that exists within everyone. And we talked about how the Buddha's final words before he was about to die were, "Be a lamp unto your own feet." He reminded his followers and all of us that we have that light within us. But at the same time, we have to learn to cope with the darkness. And I think that's what's implied in the opening quote, that there would be no darkness without light. Without the darkness, we would not summon up that inner light. We would rely upon exterior light, the light provided by the environment or by nature. But when we are in total darkness, then we have to draw upon whatever inner light is within us. So there is a definite tie-in with the concept of the third eye. In the spiritual view of things, dark and light are opposites, but they form a complete whole. And it's said that to the soul there is neither dark nor light, there is only being, which I find fascinating to ponder on.
Yes, it's a That is the third factor that it's kind of difficult to grasp. And I think this whole question of blindness is a little difficult to grasp, too, because most of us, many people, the average people in the world, they don't know that they're spiritually blind.
Well, that's a problem, too, isn't
yeah.
it?
They go through life thinking this physical existence is reality, and They accept the world as it is, and in the early stages of evolution, this is to be expected. I think the brain cells are just not sensitive enough to see any difference. So we don't know we are in the dark because we don't have a sense of that greater light, which you mentioned, that is hidden within all the forms of the physical world, including ourselves.
Ignorance is bliss.
Mm-hmm.
For a long part of the way.
Right.
But
we eventually, we reach that stage where a little light does begin to filter through, thanks to the imposing energies of the soul upon the lower self. And then things begin to happen. You begin to see something other than this darkness that we're surrounded by.
Well, that's an interesting thought that you've just said, that some light begins to dawn. That may well be true. I was thinking that perhaps at a certain stage of the way, one becomes aware that one is existing in darkness. Maybe there isn't, well, I suppose you would say that it takes light to illumine the darkness. But the light that we think we live in when we are ignorant simply reveals the material world. And we think that's all there is, and we're content with that. But I think at some stage in the soul's evolution, the darkness of the purely material existence begins to dawn on the consciousness. And then, in a sense, one wakes up, his eyes open, and he realizes, I'm in the dark, and I don't like this. So I'm not sure what happens, whether light dawns or whether one becomes aware of the dark. I suppose we could argue forever on this.
When you see there is a difference, between begins to grow in your consciousness, then you see the difference in between the world of light and the world of the form, and that world of the form begins to, you begin to realize that it's pale by comparison to what lies ahead. And that sets up a lot of tendency to conflict within one, the individual.
And probably that conflict, that questioning, and that anxiety, and that demand for more understanding are what drive the spiritual seeker to delve into his inner resources, don't you think? The outer world doesn't provide the direction that he's looking for.
No, and more and more, as the light begins to dawn more brightly, he realizes that there is much more that lies beyond this. All this material world acts as kind of a veil. In mm-hmm. fact, in the esoteric literature, that's the word that used to describe this condition, as many veils that need to be torn asunder. And in fact, as you remember, in the crucifixion of Christ, the Bible says that the curtain of the temple was torn asunder mm-hmm. by the Christ in the great experience of bringing light and love into the world.
But there's something about the experience of darkness that is propelling, you could say, or directing, mobilizing. And people shouldn't come away with the idea that there's blindness and then you break through it and all is illumined. From what the Ageless Wisdom teaching says, blindness is periodically and repeatedly imposed at every stage of the way, mm-hmm. At every initiation or every spiritual advancement of any major sort, the prelude is blindness. And I find that fascinating, that one enters upon a new level of spiritual capacity blind at every stage, no matter how advanced the path is. As one approaches that next stage, that next rung of the ladder, one is blinded. And why that is one of the great mysteries, but I think it probably refers to the saying, I think it comes from the Bible, about the treasures of darkness.
Yes, from Isaiah.
From Isaiah?
Yeah.
The treasures of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
One thought that comes to mind is that blindness, that darkness, is a treasure because it keeps one from advancing too quickly or superficially, makes one put down deep roots in consciousness.
Yes, it's a very learning experience, and this is the whole purpose behind, I think, these stages of blindness, because there are certain lessons that have to be learned. So,
for those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is blindness on the path, and we need your help because it does cost us a lot of money to put these shows on the air. Inner Sight is a show that a lot of you have expressed praise. You've expressed a lot of accolades to us and told us that you really want us to stay on the air with this. And I guess we've received a lot of help from you in the past, and that's why we're here today. But we need to continue with your help. We need to have you continue with your donations and all of our work, all the work of the Lucis Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. So we depend on your donations, large and small, of individuals. So please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, please send donations to Lucis Trust, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And also, if you... if you'd like to know more about us, we have a wealth of information that we can send to you. Just give us a call, and we'll send out a general package of information. And you can call us at our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. You'll find a lot about our meetings and who we are, and you'll find out that we're, for lack of a better word, I guess, a spiritual philosophy organization, and there are people from all walks of life who attend our meetings, and they're from a multiple number of religious backgrounds. The toll-free number, once again, if you'd like to order a general package of information, we'll send it out to you free of charge, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. 1-866, think of New York Lucis, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. We have a website, and you can key into to an entire library of radio shows that have been archived for you. The website is www.lucistrust.org. Once again, www.lucistrust.org. And we're talking about blindness on the path, and would you like to say more about that?
Yes. We were talking about how it's imposed by the soul and the reasons for that. To me, this touches upon a great mystery, and I don't think I really understand, but it may relate to a statement in the Ageless Wisdom, one of the great laws of initiation, that says darkness is pure spirit. We think of darkness as bad, evil. Men whose deeds are evil love the dark, or something like that, it's said. And we think of light as completely good and worth aspiring to. But in the Ageless Wisdom, light is actually connected with matter, related to matter. And darkness is pure spirit. So maybe these imposed periods of blindness at every stage of advancement, just before one reaches that next level, are so that one can plumb the depths of his present situation and experience and extract the spiritual significance from it.
There are many lessons that need to be learned and of these periods of blindness that we all go through. I think the world is, humanity is going through a great period of blindness now, and a great testing of blindness, particularly in that blind called separateness. And there is so much sense of separateness in the world, and that's one of the great veils that we've created. It's one of the veils that is inevitable, given the workings of the lower mind.
The lower mind.
Yeah. It creates, it sees the world in its multiplicity of forms, and it emphasizes these forms. And so we have political differences. We exaggerate these differences politically, nationally, ethnically, and religiously. And you just look around the world, and you can see the tremendous emphasis on differences of religion, religious expression. Well, these are all produce conflicts, and there are many lessons that we can learn from these conflicts, particularly in the Middle East that's going on right now. And once we learn to that this attitude of separateness has to be transcended. And out of this conflict, we eventually learn to work together and to transcend outer differences. And we then are able to transcend this blind state.
I wonder if that's why it's said too much light often blinds. Maybe the light of the lower mind, the light of knowledge, without the liberating effect of spiritual values and ideals, just the lower concrete analytical mind and its knowledge is a type of light, but it's light that only illumines the physical plane, and that in a sense can blind. And as you say, this is a period in which for all the light, all the knowledge, all the information being shared is a strangely blinded time for many people. But every crisis is such that it has within it the seeds of a breakthrough. And if we wake up to this limitation and realize that we've been totally focused on the outer material aspect of life, maybe it would jolt us into learning to look for the inner light within whatever situation we find ourselves. And I think that's the effect of turning darkness into illumination. And it's why it's one of the gifts of blindness, one of the treasures of darkness.
I agree. Go ahead.
Well, it reminds me a bit of a story that I think I mentioned some time ago, that's told by Houston Smith in his latest book, Why Religion Matters. He tells the story of a Frenchman who was injured, I think, as a boy, and he was blind, left blind all his life. And this man swore that he could see, although he didn't have traditional eyesight, he could see objects, he could see what was around him. Probably he was developing a sense of inner sight, to use the name of our program, that saw on the, or perceived on the etheric level. And in fact, his intuition became so developed that he was very good in his occupation, which was a director of a personnel department, because he could read people. He could see them, even though he couldn't see them visually, he could see them for what they are. And he was a very good judge of people. So every situation, including blindness, can be productive if we will it to be so.
It develops the other senses that way, and it's out of necessity. And it's, it reminds me of that experience of Paul of Tarsus' experience. He was blinded for 3 days on the
when
road.
When he was Saul?
When he was Saul, yeah.
Yeah.
On the road to Damascus. And it's the same great initiation experience that he went through that human beings will eventually go through, too.
Yes, it was a light that he encountered, as I recall, that was so blinding that it left him blinded for 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe this is why the Ageless Wisdom speaks of the aspirant having to develop the ability to take the light, as if it's not so easy, not so simple that you should just ask for more light and happily everything will be illumined. You have to develop your spiritual muscles, in a sense, to take the light and what it reveals.
And we think we can take the light, but actually we're asking to take more energy and more electrical force, and that's why it's recommended by the Ageless Wisdom teachings that you go slow, and that's why blindness also acts as a protection from moving ahead and awakening too rapidly until it's necessary. These lessons are learned. They must be learned, because then you're more prepared to handle the light when you really encounter it.
I wonder how much the factor of time relates to blindness, because it seems that the fact that the soul imposes blindness upon the outer person has to do with the need to take time to advance safely and cautiously and to put down deep roots. Probably it relates to that old fable of Aesop about the tortoise and the hare. And we all want to be hares and make it to the end of the spiritual path as quickly as possible, but the tortoise made steady, slow progress and, as I recall, made the journey more safely and arrived ahead of the hare. We would probably not be willing to be tortoises if it weren't for the imposed blindness and the time that it imposes to examine one's situation, examine one's attitudes, question one's perceptions, figure out what one really understands and doesn't understand.
Mm-hmm. There is also that expression that comes up every now and then, you'll hear it, the dark night of the soul.
Oh, I hear that all the time. People claim they are going through that.
And a lot of people going through emotional and turmoil in their life think they're going through the dark night of the soul. And I think it's more like the dark night of the personality, really.
And I suppose realizing that only makes it even worse.
Yeah.
As bad as things are, they're not even going through the dark night of the soul.
The dark night of the soul is really a very high advanced state that experienced only by the soul, and you wouldn't really experience that state until you have totally fused with the soul and become that soul-infused personality.
Interestingly, in the Ageless Wisdom, the stage of initiation associated with the dark night of the soul is the fourth initiation. It's a prelude to the fourth initiation, mm-hmm. which is called the crucifixion initiation. And it's the story in the Bible when Christ was on the cross and felt abandoned and said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And this darkness is the realization that Christ had of being abandoned by God when in fact he was not. He was merging with pure divinity. The effect was to feel in total darkness. And again, it comes back to that law I mentioned, that darkness is pure spirit. But we resist that darkness. We're afraid of it.
Right.
I don't know. There's so much that could be said about this topic. We always want to see, and that's all too human, and it's understandable. But there's a wonderful passage from Dag Hammarskjöld's book, Markings. He was the Secretary General of the UN many years ago. And he wrote that you are merely the lens. We shouldn't concentrate so on seeing. We should be more mindful of the fact that we are the lens through which God sees into his world. We are the eyes of God, in a sense. And a lens, as I understand it, both brings together rays of light and illumines them and allows them to disperse. You are merely the lens, he said. If we concentrate on being the lens for God's light to pour into the world and worry less about how much we see, maybe we would make better progress. It's a thought.
We would like to give you a general package of information. I hope you take advantage of that. There's a lot of information about who we are and when our meetings are, how you might join us if you want to, not that you formally join us, but if you'd like to attend our meetings, peruse our literature, take advantage of our library, you're certainly welcome to do so. Give us a call for that general package of information on our toll-free number, which is 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S. 1-866, think of New York LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, Let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.